Freedom is never free. Comes at a tremendous cost. And every man and woman who joins one of our armed forces has no idea what lies ahead. Perhaps they'll stay stateside. They'll never see combat. They'll never see any danger. Or maybe they'll end up in a place like Normandy Beach. But when they sign up, they put it all on the line to provide and protect the freedom that we have today. Many times in my adult life, I felt like I was watching our freedoms. I've been watching our freedoms slip away. But we still have them today. And it's because of our veterans that we do. And I thank God for you. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, we see in Romans chapter 13, God calls us to pray for those in authority. He lets us know that he's the one who's in control. He establishes the powers that be. He lets us know that our government's been established to provide security, to provide justice, to execute justice. But one of the things he says here in verse 7, if you'll notice with me, he says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And I submit to you tonight that the veterans of the armed forces of the United States of America deserve honor. And that's what we're trying to do tonight. I want to ask you to pray with me, and I want to share some things from God's word to challenge all of us tonight. Father, we thank you again for our veterans. We thank you for the freedom we have together. We pray that you'll continue to give us that freedom. Lord, I know our nation has continued to turn away from you. But Lord, you have sent great awakenings in our history. And we pray for an awakening now. Lord, our country may be divided politically. We may be divided in so many ways. But the one thing, the one hope, is the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would help us who have the gospel to be faithful to take the gospel to those around us, in our nation and across the globe. Thank you for this night, and please bless, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Veterans Day hasn't always been Veterans Day. After World War I, at the time which was known as the Great War, officially ended at the Treaty of Versailles on June 28, 1919, but fighting had stopped 7 months earlier when the armistice was signed. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, there was a ceasefire. It's said that at that moment, men began to climb out of the trenches. Some of them began to celebrate. Some of them began to sing. Some of them fell on their knees in rejoicing, and some of them just stood dumbfounded. But the firing had stopped at that great war. The United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War I when it passed a concurrent resolution. That happened on June the 4th, 1926. And they said this: "Whereas the 11th of November, 1918, marked the cessation of the most destructive, sanguinary," which means bloody, "and far-reaching war in human annals, and the resumption by the people of the United States of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed, and whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of this date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations, and whereas the legislatures of 27 of our states have already declared November 11 to be a legal holiday. Therefore, be it resolved by the Senate, the House of Representatives concurring, that the President of the United States is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the officials to display the flag of the United States on all government buildings on November 11th and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools and churches or other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other peoples. Our Congress understood that it was important for us to mark the day, to celebrate, notice they said, with thanksgiving and prayer. It's important that you understand that our founding fathers looked to God. And although they wanted a nation that there was a separation of church and state, in other words, we have the establishment clause, Congress will make no establishment of religion. We weren't going to have a state church, but they also said that they wouldn't prohibit the free exercise thereof. Our founding fathers wanted God to be in our government. They wanted God to be involved, and they encouraged people to pray and give thanksgiving to God. On May 13, 1938, made the 11th of November a legal holiday, Armistice Day. But in 1954, after World War II, they changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day, so that we would commemorate not only the ending of World War I, but we would honor all veterans. When I think about our veterans, I am, first of all, grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the liberty our veterans have given us. We've already mentioned, it's been said so many times, freedom is never free. It always comes at a great price. When you think about the freedom that's been purchased, I couldn't help but think about in Acts chapter 22, Acts 22 verses 27 and 28, the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum I obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Under the Roman Empire, if you weren't freeborn Roman citizen, you could become a free Roman citizen, but you had to purchase that freedom. You had to purchase that citizenship with a great sum of money. And so when that captain comes to Paul, he says, "Listen, you're a Roman?" He's like, "Man, it cost me a lot of money to become a Roman. It cost me a lot. It took a great sum for me to have that position, that citizenship." But Paul said, "I'm freeborn." I couldn't help but think about that when I thought about Veterans Day. Because listen, friends, I like many of you, I've got family members, I've got uncles, my grandparents, different ones who were veterans, who stood in the gap. I look back to our founding fathers, and they paid the price. But listen, I was freeborn. I didn't have to pay a price. I didn't have to stake my life and my fortune and my estate like our founding fathers did, who were willing to give up everything to gain independence from Great Britain. But they, listen, don't think for a second that we are independent from God. It's in our very Constitution. It's been our very Declaration of Independence. When our founding fathers declared that we were to be free from Great Britain, they also declared at the same time, in the same breath, we are dependent upon Almighty God. We're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. They were always looking to God, looking to the Creator, looking to God Himself, because though we are independent from other nations, we are completely dependent on God. One of the reasons we have some of the trouble that we do in our nation today is because many people have forgotten that. But our liberty came at a great price. It was purchased by our veterans, and it's protected by our veterans. Some of you in the room have taken this oath. Everybody who joins one of our armed forces does. "I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. Our veterans have sworn a sacred oath to support and defend the Constitution. They've purchased it and they stand to protect it. When I think about our veterans, I'm thankful. I'm grateful for the liberty that we're given. I'm also inspired. I'm inspired by them. I want to invite you to look, if you would, with me for just a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now we've got some men in the room, some Army guys, and we've got at least one Marine and some different things. Brother Darrell doesn't like it when I call him a soldier, because you don't call it, Marines aren't soldiers. Amen? Marines. They're Marines, right? But when Brother Darrell got saved and baptized a few years ago, I always tease him about that. And I'm thankful he loves me, because he could kill me at any time he wanted to. I like to introduce Brother Darrell as a former Marine, and you don't do that either. That's dangerous. And you don't call him a soldier. But one day I introduced him as a soldier, and he said, "Not a soldier." I said, "Well, you're a soldier of Jesus. You're in the Lord's army now, right?" Because it says soldier here. It doesn't say Marines. But he said he was going to get a different version so he could be... Whether it's Army, Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, or now we have the Space Force, if you didn't know, that's a real thing. A real thing. Whatever it is, we look at these men, and I as I look in the scriptures here, as Paul's writing to the young pastor Timothy and he's challenging him, he says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He gives us this picture, and Paul looks to the Roman soldier. He looks to the soldier and he says, "I want you to look at that, and I want you to see how they endure hardness. I want you to look at them and use that as an example for how you ought to live for Jesus Christ." And I want you to think about this for me. I want you to back up just a little bit, because in verse 1 he says, "Thou therefore," and when the Bible says therefore, you have to look and see what it's there for, right? Remember that? So back up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. I want to give you real quick some things that I see here in Scripture that God's Word calls us to, that I see in those in our armed forces are a great example to us, that we can look to that and we see those things, what makes a good soldier or a good Marine or a good airman, or whatever, there are some principles there that we need to take and apply to our lives as we serve the Lord Christ in His army, in His service. In verse 13, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was at Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Just in this few passages of scripture, in verse 13, you see he says, "Hold fast." When I think about the service man or woman, I see somebody who holds the line, somebody who will stand firm. He says they're in faith and in love. The motto for the Marine Corps is Semper Fidelis. You've heard Semper Fi. You ever heard that? It means always faithful. Always faithful. You see, the Marine is called to be faithful, to uphold his oath, faithful to the Constitution of the United States, faithful to support and defend the Constitution. And the Christian is called to be faithful, to hold fast. Now, I don't know all the different reasons that people join the armed forces. Some people do it for a GI Bill. Some people do it because they're going to go to jail if they don't. I'm just being honest. Yeah. Some people did it for a lot of different reasons. But I believe that the vast majority have a love for this nation. They couldn't make the commitment that they make if they didn't love these United States of America. They hold fast, they stand in faith and in love. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. We see a commitment and a dedication to be given even to the point of death. He gives us an example of verse 15 of some who are not faithful, but then we see in verse 16 one who was faithful. He says, he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. There's something that our veterans experience that those of us who are not veterans can't quite understand, but there is a band of brothers. There's a brotherhood for those who are in the service together. There's a brotherhood that is formed by serving together that I think is a beautiful picture of what we ought to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. That we strive together for the faith of the gospel, that we go to war together in the spiritual warfare that we're in, that we don't fight alone, but we stand shoulder to shoulder and we stand against the attacks of the devil and we charge forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we see a great picture of that love. He oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, we know that pride can be a bad thing, but pride's not always a bad thing. Pride can be considered in a good way. I think you veterans ought to be proud of serving our country. He was not ashamed. Verse 17, he says, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Again, you see that commitment. You see that dedication. You see that resolve. And then we go back into chapter 2 and verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, find faithful men. Verse 3, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And time would fail us if we tried to tell of all the hardships that have been endured by our veterans throughout the history of this nation. When they nearly froze to death, or they very nearly starved to death. Men who fought alone, without resupply. Men who were injured to the point of death and continued to fight. They endured hardness. I got to be as straightforward with you as I can tonight. It's very convicting to me when I look at the hardness that the men and women of our armed forces are called to endure. And then I look at how easy it is for Christians to quit, to walk away, to not fight the good fight of faith. You see, these veterans understand that it's worth the fight. It's a commitment that can't be taken back. It's something they've dedicated themselves to. It's something worth dying for. And for so many Christians in America today, we don't look at living for Jesus as being good soldiers for Jesus Christ. We don't look at that as something worth dying for. We don't even want to be uncomfortable for it. We don't want to sit in a pew that's too hard, or we don't want to be in a room that's too hot or too cold, and we don't want a preacher who's too loud or too quiet or too serious or too funny. We want everything to be just exactly the way we want it to be, or we're going to go home. We don't know how to endure hardness as American Christians today. And I want to tell you something, friends. We have brothers and sisters in Christ in places today who are laying their lives on the line, just like our veterans are. And maybe even worse so that they can stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they can honor the one who died for them and rose again, and they say it's worth the hardness, it's worth the difficulty, it's worth the sacrifice, it's worth everything to live for Jesus. We need to learn to endure hardness. He says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I've read so many stories. I've heard so many stories. When you are in combat, there's no time for playing around. It's serious. Because your life and the life of those around you is at stake. Spiritually, friends, we're at war. We're spending far too much time playing around. We've entangled ourselves. We've got ourselves wrapped up in the affairs of this life, instead of focusing on that eternal kingdom. Understanding, we've lost the understanding that people's spiritual eternal lives are at stake. But we're too busy. We're too busy trying to play with our toys. We're too busy trying to pay for our toys to focus on the things that really matter. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You may not realize this if you haven't been saved very long, but if you have repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a Marine. Whatever version you want to use right there. You belong to him. And he's commissioned you to fight the good fight of faith. And listen, we don't get to be Sweden. We don't get to stay out of this thing. We have to go to war. Because whether you want to fight or not, the devil is after you. Whether you want to fight or not, he's after your family. Whether you want to fight or not, he is trying to destroy your family. He's trying to destroy this church. He's trying to destroy our community and our state and our nation. And he wants to take everybody in the world straight to hell with him. And we have to fight. We have to go to war. We need to have the kind of resolve, the commitment, the dedication that our veterans have. We need to have that kind of brotherhood that they have. We need to have that kind of strength and resilience and faithfulness that they demonstrate for us. We need to be grateful for the liberty that they provide and protect, but we need to be inspired by them. We need to look at their great example for this nation, for our Constitution, because listen, as great as that is and as important as that is, it pales in comparison to the calling of God. It pales. Listen, I love America. I'm thankful. And I would consider myself to be as patriotic as anybody I know. But listen to me. This nation will fade away. I seek a better country. A city not made with hands. I serve a Savior who is on his throne forever and ever. His kingdom will not end. I'm thankful for our veterans. I'm thankful for our freedoms. But I want to live for the one who died for me and rose again. I mentioned the Marine Corps' motto, always faithful. The Army, I don't know if it's so much of an official motto, but it's there's many different, all the different units have their own mottos, but one of the main ones is this: this will defend. This will defend our nation, our Constitution. How about this? Our faith, the gospel, our nation, our families, this will defend. The Navy doesn't have an official motto. Darrell said just because they're not as good as the Marine Corps. He didn't really say that, but he would. Their unofficial motto is Semper Fortis, always courageous. In the Navy March, it says faith, courage, service true, with honor, over all. There's a call to always be courageous. The Air Force has a motto, aim high, fly, fight, and win. I don't know about their motto, but their planes are cool. The Coast Guard has a motto, Semper Paratus, always ready. That's a great motto. That's a biblical motto. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be always ready. And I couldn't leave the Space Force out, because it's not the oldest, but it is definitely the coolest. I don't care what y'all say. I don't care if their logo looks like something from Space Trek. I don't care if you think it's all dumb. But it's Space Force. Come on, people. They have a motto. It's Semper Supra. Brand new Space Force, brand new motto. Semper Supra means always above. Now, you may think that's kind of cheesy, but Semper means always. The young man who submitted this for their motto to the Space Force, he said, always is the idea that there's no end to the domain of space. From the moon to Mars and beyond, the Space Force is meant to relentlessly protect and monitor space. There's no night in space, there's no day, and this unending time is the same as our resolve. And then super, meaning above, this represents the age-old impulse of humankind to look up, to see the skies and stars and wonder what else is out there. It also is symbolic of our standards of excellence. It's a reminder to our enemies that we are watching, and it's a reminder that no matter what we have accomplished, there is no ceiling or boundary. There is always something farther out and higher up. And if we mean to go there, we will protect ourselves from those who mean us harm. Our citizens will rest easier knowing there is always a shield above them. I've got some good news for you tonight. There's something above Space Force. Above our satellites, above our missiles, above whatever we may go, to the moon or to Mars or whatever. I don't know why they want to go to Mars so bad. Beyond this solar system, beyond every constellation you can see at night, the Creator stands. He measures the heavens in the span of his hand. He stretches the heavens out like a curtain. He spoke every star into existence. And although we are thankful for our veterans, although we are thankful for the defense that we have, we do not trust in chariots. We do not trust in horses. We do not trust in bombs and tanks and guns and bombers. We trust in the Lord God Almighty. And only by His grace do we live. And only by His grace and faith in His Son Jesus do we have life everlasting. Tonight I want to ask our musicians to come, and we want to have an opportunity for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, will you stand with me, please? When I look at our veterans, there's so many things I want to emulate. Their courage, their commitment. But I want to say to you, no matter how good you've been, no matter how dedicated you've been, no matter how faithful you've been to whatever cause, if your faith isn't in Christ alone, you have no hope of eternal life. And I pray that if you are lacking peace in your heart and life, if you don't know without doubt you have eternal life, that tonight you would turn away from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again. The only way we can have freedom in America is because of our veterans. The only way we have freedom for eternity, freedom from sin and death, is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted in him, I pray that you'll trust in him tonight. If he's convicting your heart, whatever burden there might be, you'd bring it to him tonight while we sing.
Page 558.